Hello, lovely time hackers. I'm so excited. I love how, so if you're listening to the podcast, you can't see this, but Mary's face just lit up into an even bigger smile than usual. So I'm joined today by a time hacker who is also becoming a time hacker coach, Mary, and such a powerful part to our community. And I've loved watching your story evolve and watching you evolve and see you take the work and apply it to all areas of your life. And I think you are such a powerhouse and such an example to so many in the community that I really want the wider community, the podcast listeners, to also get the opportunity to learn from you and hear from you. So thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me here. Really delighted to be here.
Yes. So why don't we start right at the beginning? So what even like led you to think about becoming a time hacker?
I had heard your podcast, and I was trying to work out the other day how I had come across your podcast. And actually, I can't remember that bit. I heard your podcast, and I loved it. I was very drawn to it. I loved the fact that it was bite-sized chunks that I could keep applying. And I was at that stage really interested in the idea of coaching. Having experienced a little bit of coaching training, not having received any coaching at this point, and I was fascinated in the idea of how to develop myself in that direction. And I dawdled a little bit. And I think it was in the end, actually, we had a short email exchange, as a result of which I actually realized, well, if I'm not going to do it now, what is stopping me from doing it now? If I'm not going to do it now, what is that going to result in? So I joined back in April 2022, I think it was. Yeah. Yeah, nearly a couple of years ago.
I know, time flies. So, and tell us a little bit about the experience of becoming a time hacker and what that was like.
Yeah, I was I'm a real doer. I love doing, and I've got lots of energy, and I've always been somebody who have has ne I've never struggled with time. I love time. I love the whole concept that we can choose what we do with it. I have, at the same time, always been someone who's rushed through everything and had all of those thoughts of, I don't have enough time, there's a deadline. And what I was hearing in your podcast was actually there is a completely different approach to time. That was really refreshing for me. So I entered the world of time hackers very much wanting to build on that and learn more about it. I was in a wonderful relationship with a man who was also a great doer. And so we spent an enormous amount of our time going off and taking photographs, walking around the forest. We'd go and have adventures. We did a lot, and I worked full time, and he had just retired, but he was still working. He was a musician and still teaching and leading choirs and conducting. So we had a really colourful life experience. And into that, I joined Time Hackers. And just maybe 2 months after I joined Time Hackers, we found out that Max had advanced cancer. And we discovered this really out of the blue. And we then discovered that his time was limited. We knew it was limited when we got the first diagnosis. And then a few months down the line, we discovered that it was even more limited, and that we had another 3 to 6 months to expect to be able to enjoy time together. And that of some of that time would be when he was in decline. so that the nature of the time spent together might change. And so my sort of catapult into Time Hackers was, how are we going to make the most of the time we have? How are we going to allow that time to multiply into the rest of the family? We have two young adult families, so there are five of our youngsters all wanting time with him, with us, with each other. And it was just a brilliant time to join Time Hackers, because I could bring everything I was learning about decision making, about things not taking time, about things taking as much time as I let them. I could let that infiltrate into our day-to-day existence and make decisions that were sort of eternal, would have an eternal effect, because that what we do now, those people who live on carry that forever. And so yeah, that's what it I was born into Time Hackers in.
Yes, thank you so much for sharing that. If you're happy to continue sharing, I would love to ask you, what changed in that experience? How did you show up for that experience? How did you show up for yourself? How did you show up for Max? What were the different decisions that you made with this new perspective? And how did you create an intentional experience?
First of all, I realized that I needed to look after myself. And that was one of the most challenging things, I think, to make a decision on and to assert to the rest of my family, our families, because when somebody is so unwell, obviously the attention and the investment needs to be around that person and into them. I realized really early on that if I didn't look after myself and what I did with my time, I was going to run dry, and then that was going to affect our time together. So it really didn't make sense on one level for me to know that he didn't have very much time left with me, but to also say, I'm now going to go off on my own and go for a walk for an hour. Or I'm going to go and meet a friend for coffee. I found that really hard to do because it felt uncomfortable. It felt uncomfortable to myself, almost like I was judging myself as being selfish for doing that. It felt as though I was. Yeah, so I was kind of judging myself on that, I guess. It felt unkind to say to him because I was denying him time with me. But actually, the more that we talked about it and we talked about everything, he totally understood it. And that became a resource to both of us to have time. And he needed time on his own as well. Again, really uncomfortable for somebody to have to be reflecting in that stage of life. But it was really valuable, and so we would have time on our own, and then we would come back together and we would have considered a new take on something, and then we would go for a walk together and talk about it together. So it gave us a real engine house for how were we going to do the rest of our lives together, independently. We talked about my life afterwards. Our lives together, our history. We didn't really leave any stone unturned. And that has given me an extraordinary resource to dip into for the future. And he did the same with his own children and with my children, spent time alone with them talking. So we really shared, we really learned to share time, but also to use it for ourselves.
Wow, which is so counter to what you shared at the beginning about rushing and doing. And it's really going through that process of being in the experience and having almost an abundant mindset around time, even as you are faced with a very real limit, which is such an amazing thing that you both got to experience and co-create.
You used the word abundant, and it really did feel abundant. One of the things I've loved in Time Hackers is learning how to operate out of spaciousness and rather than scarcity. And I have applied this across all my life, but in that particular scenario, to actually wake up each day and think, we have this day, we have this sunrise. Let's wake up at 4 in the morning and see the sunrise. And we'll be tired, but we'll have a nap later. We have all this around us. And we are both naturally positive people. And that was really helpful in to live in spaciousness, to apply it. We were very real as well because we were managing, Max was managing extraordinary pain. And so we just learned to do this sort of this life of we knowing that we have so much, having to accept that things aren't quite how we wanted them to be, but not letting that take over. So we decided to not live in scarcity. And I think that was probably our key decision in that period of time. And that overflows to our youngsters, who all obviously everybody's completely different and everybody responded in their own way to it. But our attitude was very much, there is so much for all of us to experience. Go and enjoy it. Go and live your lives. Tell us about it. We will gain from it. You don't have to be here all the time. There is time for everything and everyone, which was one of my mantras.
Yes, I see you sharing that over and over
Yeah.
again in the group, and it's
Yeah.
a gift to everyone in the community, because I think the way we're taught around time is this. I think this time scarcity is not an accident. Everyone listening to this experiences time scarcity because we're told it. We're told that we can't have it all. We're told that we should be able to do all the things that, both of those, which contradict each other, by the way. We're told that areas of our lives compete, people in our lives compete, our health competes with our business or goal, personal goals and relationship goals. We're taught this like competitive nature within our own selves and our own lives, which of course leaves us feeling like there's not enough. So powerful.
There was also one of the really helpful things that I learned in Time Hackers was this idea that it's not one or the other. It's both. And the fact that you can have these apparently contradicting, even emotions at the same time, actually generates so much in life. It is fine. The perfect and the imperfect all mesh together to create this mishy-mashy imperfection. Actually is where life is lived, and it's where there's real presence.
Absolutely. And what you're touching on there is so important, because when we separate out and allow ourselves to only feel one emotion, so let's say, for example, grief and joy, which, and it's like if we're only allowed one, then the moment we notice the grief, we sit ourselves and stick ourselves down in the grief, and it takes away our ability to have joy. And exactly like you said, the reality is, they're all there. It's a mishmash of emotions all day, every day. And they're like waves, right? Riding in, waving in and waving out and there, and we catch them and then we move on to the next wave. But I think a lot of what we're taught around our emotions is keeps us so stagnant in them and helpless to them.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. It's that feeling of helplessness is probably one of the most frightening feelings to experience, that we have, that there is nothing that we can do. And it's not true. There is always something that we can do. We are not helpless. We can always choose to respond. We just notice, give time, pause and we choose how to respond it, as imperfectly, as imperfectly as we want to or as we do. It's not about being perfect, but we do have a choice, and that's what I've discovered. So we obviously focus very much on time. I also discovered in all of this, I can actually be imperfect, and that's perfectly okay. So I could apply what we're learning about time to other areas of my life. So I can be enough as I am.
Yes.
I could be enough as I was with Max in a hospice dying. I was enough, and he was enough. And it was an amazing experience to apply principles that we learn in a time concept to something so on the surface, so different. But actually, I discovered time isn't linear, it goes round and round and round. And we can use that in everyday life. I can use it at home, I can use it when I'm working. So my experience of being in Time Hackers produced so much benefit for me as a person going through a bereavement. I was very surprised. I was very surprised. As for the people around me, I think my own children saw a confidence in me and an ability to trust myself, because I believed that what I was doing was a brilliant approach, which was living in sufficiency, and I would give that to them. I think they've benefited from that.
Yes. And you're absolutely right. It's like time is like the surface level problem that we like think I need help with my time. But you just said self-trust. And someone asked me recently, what do you help people with and what do you really help people with? And I said, I help people with time, but I really help them with self-trust. That's the real thing. And I think the time industry, the time rules all pull us away. So we become like a student or an employee. But actually, the one thing, the one core thing that I see in your evolution in Time Hackers, in my own evolution, and in the space is this like slow detachment from whatever norms and rules and societal expectations there are, leaning into like, what is my way? Like, what do I want this time to look like? What are the decisions that I want to make for me? So I love that you shared that. And it also makes me think of, I will always remember you spoke about time not being linear. And do you remember the first time you created a diagram in Time Hackers? Was so good and it was so fun. So for everyone listening, what Mary did was created a visual for her week that was based off of like nothing I'd seen ever before. It was so from you and so for you. It's like you created in this like beautiful visual how you wanted to reflect your week. You literally created a tool that would support you. It was just so powerful to see. Can you share a little bit about that if you remember what I'm speaking about?
Yeah, I do. I remember it entirely. My brain thinks visually, and if I have something to refer to, it can light me up and inspire me. And this was to do with the different areas of my life that I was giving particular time to. It was everything that we've been talking about, actually. And so I love using color, and I love using different shapes. And I will sometimes wake up in the night and have an idea, and then there's always a lesson for me that comes from it. Or I might find myself in a situation where I can feel discomfort, something's happening, and I'm thinking, I don't know what am I doing here? I need to pause, and that visual will come to mind. I use that tool in loads of ways. I have all sorts of different visuals. I find them really useful, and that one was on the back of a scruffy old bit of file paper, I think, but they come in all shapes and sizes around me. So for me, that works really well. It's a reminder, it's a sort of landing place, a bit of an anchor, just when I just need that. Oh, what am I doing? Yeah, I know. That's where it comes from. And it just ignites something in me in the same way that maybe a bit of wording could, or a poem or something like that. But it brings me back to what this was all about. Oh yeah, that's where it sits. That's where I spend my time. That's my priority. And everything else falls away, and the important things resonate again.
Yes. Because I think living in the day-to-day, there's so many things that want our attention and a position to us is urgent and super important that aren't. And I love what you've spoken about, like there's an anchoring tool. And for anyone listening, you don't have to be a creative designer to do this. I'm actually sat across from, I've got like it says dance that I've written around it, and then around it's got like all the things like joy, love, awakening, confidence, connection, all the things that I get from it. And it's really not fancy in any way, but it is just like an anchoring of like me connecting to me. And so I just really encourage you, like Mary shared, it could be a word, it could be a poem, it could be an image someone else has created. What I love is the way we are speaking about this tool versus the way we speak about like a calendar.
Yes.
Right.
Because this is organic. This is something that flows and changes and evolves. So I might find myself in a situation that's similar to the one I was in before, that I've made some kind of visual around that has helped, but I might develop that, which is something that happened lately. I made one, I created a visual, and actually, I added a whole section to it afterwards, just made the whole thing much bigger. And I'm not an artist. I love messing around with my hands and with colors and creating things, but I'm not an artist. And as you say, you don't have to be, but it is something that comes from the inside that's organic. And that has more impact in me and on my life. I can spend 5 minutes doing that, and that will have more impact for the next few weeks or maybe years to come than I could pore over calendars and diaries and other forms that for me don't work so well. So that was a really good realization. I could, it's for me, like it's like simplifying me and how I use my time and where I get my inspiration and energy from. Sometimes it's instant.
I really encourage everyone listening to just have a play after this podcast and think like, what would feel supportive for me? And even if your brain is like, this feels weird or unusual, or maybe this won't be helpful, like just flow with it. You know, like you're not going to go wrong anywhere. You don't need to commit to use anything. No one's going to make you show it to anyone else. But it's just kind of a fun. I think it leans back into that self-trust narrative where we are creating what feels supportive to us instead of, you know, I call it the mass marketization of time and time tools, where we're like, these are the three things that everyone says I should be able to do and I should be able to follow. And by the way, if calendaring really works for you and you love it, we are big fans of that too. Like, we're so happy for you to do what works for you. I just definitely wanted to bring that up because it was so unique. I also loved how well received it was in the community. I feel like there was so much support and so much rallying around it. And I feel like it was such a gift to the community that I definitely wanted to give it to our podcast listeners too.
Yeah, lovely. The other thing that you mentioned is the community, because the community has become such a big part of my life. And it's an enormous resource. There's a lot of learning, there's a lot of where really we see minds changing, and we learn from each other's coaching. We have our own coaching. We have access to coaching all the time, written. We can write into the community, and I have found that really inspirational. And I'd even go so far to say that I've found that going through the last year that I've been through, I have actually received support in that process through the community, which, if you'd said that to me a couple of years ago, Well, not about what was going to happen to Max. I wouldn't want to have heard that. But if someone had said to me, you're going to go through something really tough, and it's going to be an online community that, as well as your other communities, but you're going to find a real source of resonance and support and warmth, I would not have actually believed that. And
That's
here
true.
I am. I love my Tuesday afternoons where we have our group coaching. I love it. It's a time of the week I prioritize and I look forward to. I remember once actually from the hospital car park, even getting on a call on my phone and having some coaching. I think it may have been from you, Vicky. And I couldn't make it all work properly. It didn't matter. You were so relaxed about it. And I got my coaching finished up. I think it was in the dark, went back into the hospital. And it was that it had become that important to me at that stage. I found it very supportive coaching. And I don't even know what I was coaching, being coached on.
Yes. There's that Maria Angelou quote, we don't remember what people say, but we remember how they made us feel. And to me, that sums up. I mean, obviously we care about the quality of coaching. You're in our coach training program now. You can see, it's really our mission to build the best coaches and not build, co-create, I will say. But really, we care about high quality coaching. But you're absolutely right. When I decided to build a community, the most important thing is a place that people genuinely belong, where they feel safe, where they feel supported, where they can show up as they are, where they can feel held. And so I really appreciate you sharing that. And I think it's, I do, you hearing that from you, I do think it's very present in our community. It's a very warm, welcoming, supportive, generous community.
It is that, and again, I was just trying to remind myself exactly what the quote was, and I can't actually remember, which is a shame. But it's all about the impact, not necessarily the words, and the impact that the coaching community, the whole community has in Time Hackers, is one of richness. There is an enriching that comes through it. And I think that is evident as well because people show up. People show up again and again, and we have this amazing opportunity to experience challenges. And that's, again, I've learned a lot through the Date Your Goal challenge, a number of different challenges. So we're learning constantly. It's an environment of growth as well as support. If people want to grow, that's a space where you can grow just by showing up, belonging, choosing to belong, deciding that you're not. I did observe a little bit at the very beginning. And then one day I just thought, right, I've observed now, I've done with that. I'm joining, I'm showing up as though this is a family and I'm a member. Yeah, very powerful.
That is so powerful. And I love that you shared that you decided to observe first, because also for anyone, like, whatever feels safe for you, there is no wrong way to come in and join. And what I do love, the advantage that people have now that you didn't when you joined, but obviously you've had since, is now when they join, they get 3 one-to-one sessions, which I think has the benefit of firstly getting support immediately on why you joined, but secondly, you have one or three familiar faces in the community, because all our coaches are in the community still showing up and doing the work. And I love what you said. My husband actually said it to me. He's like, wow, like how, he's like, how long do people like actively engage in the community? I'm like, years. What? Like we still have people active that joined like day one. And he's like, wow, that's really telling. Now again, if you're listening and you're in the community and you're like, oh, I'm not active, like no one's measuring your activity, it's what's supportive for you. But I do think it does speak to the quality of the community, the quality of the coaching, and the fact that I do think our experience of time is constantly evolving. And that's why I wanted to make it a lifetime access, because we change job, we change careers, we change all, everything changes all at once, and sometimes not all at once, but It's always evolving. We're always evolving. And I think it's ongoing work, even for me.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you want to share with the people that I've not asked?
I have had some one-to-one coaching,
Mm.
and I have found that really fascinating to be coached for 20 minutes. And I would recommend it to anybody. It's a very, very wonderful container for bringing something and having absolute focus in a one-to-one setting. So that definitely, I gifted that to myself recently as well. I gifted more of it to myself around my birthday. I thought, that is something I can give myself. And again, the effects of that go on and on. So I wanted to mention that.
You know, I also recently gifted myself a package. Like
Okay.
I get coached from our coaches. And I think it was interesting when I first did it, they were quite surprised and people were like, oh no, you've scheduled a call, what's wrong? I was like, nothing's wrong, I want to get coached. And I genuinely think, like I say, we're always in this work, right? Like I don't want anyone listening to this podcast to create a kind of hierarchy or this like perfectionism of like one day I'll have time all figured out and I'll always spend every minute optimized. You're gonna keep being human, and that's, I always say, my favorite thing about you. So we don't want to eliminate our humanity through this work and our, like what you said about our imperfections.
Yeah.
It's not about ironing them all out to make them perfect. I think it's about loving and accepting our imperfections. Going
And
in.
that makes us human, and it brings people together so well, because we're all human. And I don't want to be with someone who is perfect. I don't want to be around people because I just feel awful about myself. We're constantly surrounded by perfect. It doesn't exist. It simply doesn't exist. And within that, being imperfect and being human, one of the other things I've really learned in Time Hackers is about the value of resting, which, is such an important part of who you are, obviously, and what you talk about. And I think I've thought I've rested in my life when I was rushing around, and I don't think I was resting. I think I was just distracting myself with something else, but being very, very drained after doing that. But discovering that so many different things are restful, and prioritizing that, and working out what is rest for me, what is going slow, what does that look like for me? At the moment, tomorrow I'm moving house, and I've been working out what is restful for me, what is valuable to me, how do I want my day to be shaped in 5 years' time? When I look back at this house move, what do I want to see in my day? Where were my values? And rest has come really high in that, particularly at the moment for me, because I think it's changed over the months for me what rest looks like. At the moment, that is looking like having a nap quite often after lunch. I just go and have a half hour nap, and I come back just very strengthened, walking. And I'm not a really big television viewer, but watching a Netflix series switches my mind off my move details. And that has been really helpful for me to learn that rest changes over time as well. What to me is rest at one time may not be in a year's time. The way I rest now is different to the way Max and I rested before he died. We did a lot of maths puzzles, and that was a really good rest for us because we were both focused on the same thing together. We were sort of chatting about it, laughing about it, and it built us. It was a great distraction, but a very wholesome distraction. And yet now I will do the same puzzles to go to sleep now. I have a completely different purpose for them now. Yeah, so that's been a big thing for me as historically a very busy, rushing around person, learning what very high quality rest looks like for me.
Yes, and it's so important what you shared about allowing it to evolve with us, because otherwise we can end up just like we do with the calendar, making decisions on a Monday for a Friday. We end up getting frustrated with the decisions that we made 6 months ago that aren't producing the same results,
Yeah.
instead of just using that data to adapt the tools that we have, exactly as you've shared. So lovely. Thank you so much for sharing. And I'm so grateful for you for being here and for sharing so vulnerably and for being in the community and for contributing and for continuing as a time hacker coach. So some of you listening might get to get coached by Mary one day as a time hacker, but also I want you to share about your own business. Right before you do, is there anything that you just want to say to anyone who's like on the line thinking like, yeah, maybe I'll join one day or anything like that?
If anybody's thinking that they might one day join, I would ask the question, really, what are you waiting for? How are you going to know in 3 months' time, any more than you know now, about making that decision and actually committing to it? And I would also say that I cannot possibly see how anybody could regret it. Unless they choose not to show up at all. But I would encourage anybody who's thinking about it to make that step. It's a very, very simple step to make.
Oh, thank you. And so you have been going public with your business.
I have, yes.
And this, I think this podcast interview landed at the exact perfect time.
It has. Crazy.
I would love for you to share about your work.
Oh, thank you. So I'm a coach, I'm a life coach, and I coach around grief and growth, all areas. Grief affects all of us in different ways. I'm very happy to talk about all the big emotions, and I'm very happy to talk, I'm very comfortable would be a better word to use, to talk about death and difficult subjects. So I have a website and I am available to coach. I also am starting in March, April, May, doing either woodland or coastal walking and coaching sessions in the south of England. So I'm just speaking to a very small area there, I'm afraid. But yes, so I'm at www.marytalbot.com and it's Mary Talbot Coaching.
Yes, and we will have those links in the show notes. I think it's such a powerful resource, and such an important conversation and such valuable support, and just seeing you navigate yourself through the experience. And also one of the things is so openly sharing about it as you go through it, so openly seeking support. I think it's one of these areas where just because we've always done it alone doesn't mean it's better to do it alone. It's actually
Yeah.
better to do it in a way where you just feel better, whatever that might be. And that could be to do it alone, but also it could be to be held and be supported.
Yeah, the support can be amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much for having me here
Thank
in this space, Vicky.
you for being here. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and experience. And thank you to everyone for listening. If you do want to become a time hacker, then we will leave the link for that in the show notes too, as well as for the one-to-one coaching. All right, we'll catch you next week. Bye. Hey, if you want to get 5 hours a week back minimum for life, then I want to invite you to join Time Hackers. It's this podcast on speed,
where you'll get access to time hacking tools not shared on the podcast. You'll get access to my proven process for hacking your time to get 5 hours back every week at least. It's also my favorite place to hang out and will be yours too as you connect with other time hackers, where you'll get celebrated, supported, and coached, of course. You are a time hacker. This is where you belong. Head to VickiLouise.com/group. I can't wait to see you there.